Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, team. It's great to sing some of those songs on the goodness of God. You know, I think there's been two things that have broken my hard heart. Two things that have kind of cracked through it. And I would say those two things are beauty and suffering. Beauty, like we just sang about, the goodness of God. That has cracked my heart. Or, you know, a walk in nature, let's say at Lynn Canyon, or a sunset on White Rock. You know, beauty has broken through my heart, as has suffering. Times in my life where I wondered, can I keep going on? Can I keep hanging in there? Can I face another day? I'm glad that you've joined us for a service today. My name is Rick, if we haven't met, so thank you for tuning in, whether it's your first time or you're a longtime viewer. And I'm going to share a few stories from my life as we go through this story journal over the next 10 weeks. And we're going to look at God's story. And I trust that you can find hope in your life for your brokenness. And so before I share stories from my life, let's set the stage with the scripture. And so the scripture I've chosen is from Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and you see the verses there on the screen. And I'm going to read the first three verses there of Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Now the context of this psalm is that the people are celebrating their deliverance from exile. As it says there, those he've redeemed from the hand of the foe. Or some translations say the hand of the enemy, or the hand of the adversary. And in their case, back then, it was Babylon. That God has redeemed and rescued them from Babylon. And then the rest of the psalm goes through as this psalmist gives us kind of four scenes of God's deliverance, God's rescue. And so in verses 4 to 9, there's the wanderer who's delivered from the wasteland. In verses 10 to 17, the prisoner is delivered from imprisonment, and that's the imprisonment in Babylon. Verses 17 to 22, the foolish are delivered from all of their troubles. Then in verses 23 to 32, the storm-tossed are delivered from the troubles at sea. And so, in the midst of all of those, you know, four perilous situations, we read this common refrain. Verse 6, they cried out to the Lord for their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. Again and again, we have this repetition of the people crying out to God, God, help us. God, rescue us. God, deliver us. And then God comes through for them. And that's true in your story also. Whether you realize it or not, God has rescued and delivered you. N.T. Wright says, the whole point of Christianity is that it offers a story which is the story of the whole world. And we're going to look today at kind of four movements that are found in the story journal. Four movements that, in a sense, the authors take the Bible and divide it up into these four movements, which kind of represent the whole gospel story. And they also represent your story and my story as well. And so the first movement is that your story has times of shalom. Everybody say that word, shalom. Shalom. In Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of the Bible, we read about that shalom. There's peace. There's harmony. Creation is right with the Creator. People are living at peace with one another. And there's internal harmony within people's lives. And so we have this shalom in that beautiful setting of Genesis chapter 1. As God looks down on everything that he's created and he says it's good. And then he looks at the people that he's created and he says it's very good. Shalom is life at peace. It's more than just the absence of conflict. It's harmony. Harmony within ourselves and within our world. Our story journal defines shalom as a full flourishing in every dimension. I like that. A full flourishing in every dimension. There's no sin, there's no fear, there's no emptiness, there's no tragedy. And your story contains moments of shalom. Places and times which were kind of, in a sense, a glimpse of Eden. You might say, Rick, you don't know my life. My life has been one big headache, kind of continuous problem after problem. Now, I don't disagree that you've perhaps had your share of challenges. But in your story, there are also moments, seasons, times of shalom, particularly when you were a child. And it's easy for us to sometimes reflect upon our lives and to look back, and we look back at the past and we so readily remember the tragedies, the challenges, the problems, the negative turns. But I want to encourage you, as you reflect upon your story, as I had to do as I looked at myself in this story journal, I readily was drawn to some of the negative turns. But then I felt convicted and thought, yeah, what are some of the positive turns? And then I was reminded by the Spirit of God of those moments of shalom in my story. Even though I grew up in a family where there was a lot of conflict, a lot of anger, a lot of yelling, the street that I lived on, Hickson Drive in Kitchener, I have some very fond memories of my childhood. Playing Monopoly with some of the kids that were my age there on the street. Going for bike rides. Going swimming. Playing hockey. In the road hockey in the wintertime on the street there. Moments of peace. Moments of shalom. You've got those too in your repertoire of stories. And even though there was a lot of chaos in my family of origin, I remember the trips we did up to Sauble Beach where my parents had a cabin. And we would go there in the summer and at Christmas time in particular. This week I was recalling those moments where we'd go out in the bush, my dad and us three kids, and we'd cut down a Christmas tree and, you know, bring it into the cabin and, you know, shake off all the snow and then set it up and decorate the tree. And we put the gifts under the tree and we'd celebrate together and eat my mom's homemade cookies. Some great moments of shalom, peace. And as an adult, we have those moments too. Moments where you feel near to Eden. For me, I recall when we adopted our two daughters, and for the first time, I held those beautiful baby girls in my arms. And I can still remember feeding them from the bottle and thinking, these helpless babies are now dependent upon us as parents. And there was just this transcendent peace that I felt at that moment. In your life too, those times of shalom. In our story journal, there's a timeline. There's positive turns above the horizontal line. And that's where you can write in some of those moments of shalom where you reflect back as a child, as a teenager, as an adult. Oh, you remember the times. Maybe it was when you put your feet on the vents you know, in the cold winter days and you felt that warmth coming through and didn't that feel good? Or maybe in the summer when you put your toes in the hot sand at the beach. Or maybe it was a safe adult that you have fond memories of. Maybe it was grandma or someone else. That there was just this serenity of being with that person. Also as an adult, recall some of the memories. Maybe it's a walk in nature. Maybe it's a sunset at Crescent Beach. Maybe it's a glorious sunrise. A hike somewhere. Whatever it may be for you. Think of those moments of shalom. And share those with others. As Gord said in the pre-service hosting, life is not meant to be lived alone. We're meant to share it with others. And share those moments of shalom, perhaps with your family, even this week. The psalmist says here in our scripture today, Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. You have a story to tell that contains moments of shalom. And your story also has moments of shalom shattered. In Genesis chapter 1, there's peace there in the Garden of Eden. As all of creation is right. But then by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve rebel against God, and they choose to go their own way, and sin and struggles and death enters our world. And we see it all through the biblical narrative. And we see it in our world now. We see it in our own lives as we continually choose rebellion against God. Shalom shattered. It happens so quickly, doesn't it? I told you earlier just about the serene times at our family cottage in Savo Beach. And I remember it well. Oh, the 4-foot snow and digging our way through. And then as we'd open the Christmas gifts, I remember for a few years, my dad had taken some albums and he had recorded onto cassette tapes. And those of you who are kids, you may want to Google what cassette tapes are. But he had recorded onto cassette tapes some Christmas music. And we played in the background as we opened the gifts. But it was a time he was very angry, and so we hear in the background of these songs, amidst "O Christmas Night" and "Joy to the World" and the other Christmas carols, my dad yelling in the background. There's shalom, but shalom shattered. You have that in your life too, don't you? There's peace. And then there's brokenness. When I think of shalom, I think of my wedding day, May 17th, 1992. And the love that I pledged for Sheila that day. And just the beauty of it all. And today, 28 years later, I'm just as in love with Sheila. It's a different kind of love. The love has matured. I think back then I was maybe in love with being in love. But now I'm genuinely in love with Sheila. And we've had our moments of shalom, seasons of shalom. And then we've had times of shalom shattered. When I was depressed, or Sheila was withdrawn, or we said harsh things to one another. And I was thinking this week of a story. I don't know why I didn't call somebody else to fix the stove. I could have easily done that. Called a guy. Every guy knows a guy, right? I could have just called somebody. But I tried to fix it. And then Sheila came to help. And it wasn't going well. And I got angry. Angry at the stove and then angry at Sheila. And I said some words and then I pushed her. And to this day, I regret that action. Afterwards, I, of course, apologized. And then I met with a friend, Dave. He's a police officer, a big guy. I confessed to him what I had done. Dave said, "That's not good, Rick." He said, "You hit your wife." I said, "Well, I didn't hit her, I pushed her." He said, "No, you hit your wife." I said, "Okay, I'm not going to disagree with the big policeman." You know how I can easily, do you do the same? You can easily justify your sin. And he said, "You're going to be accountable to me, Rick." And then he explained to me some calls around domestic abuse that as a police officer he'd gone to. And more than fearing Dave and other police officers showing up at my house, I feared losing the love of my beloved, Sheila. Shalom. Shalom shattered. We all have it in our lives, in our story. Perhaps moments for you when your name was taken away. Like I talked about a couple weeks ago, when we feel widowed, orphaned, or a stranger. I shared those stories about when I felt abandoned or alone or rejected, betrayed, ashamed. And you've got those stories in your repertoire also. Perhaps times when you felt the sting of betrayal. Maybe it was the divorce. Or maybe it was a time someone passed away in your family, a loved one. Or maybe it was the bankruptcy, or perhaps the sexual abuse, the dream that was shattered, something which in some way destroyed the harmony of shalom, some negative turn which happened in your life, taking away the peace of Eden. My prayer in this series for you is that you would experience a new name from God. Yes, we've been unnamed because of the effects of sin and evil. The unnaming which calls us loser or reject or broken or whatever. But God is in the business of renaming, of giving you a new name, His name. And so let's journey together through this story journal or through Freedom Session and see how God renames you. Because all of our stories contain those moments of shalom broken. But in the midst of our brokenness, we seek shalom. Genesis chapter 1, the goodness of God, the beauty of creation. Then Genesis chapter 3, the fall of humanity. And sin and evil enters our world and the suffering. And then since then, and all through the biblical narrative to our time, people have been seeking that shalom. I spent a lifetime seeking that shalom. I want you to imagine with me our first parents there, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, when they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden as they rebel against God. And imagine with me what they did that first night, as they're wondering, where do we sleep? Where are we going to stay? How are we going to find food? And their story is our story. We all wonder, how are we going to make it in this world? How are we going to survive? How are we going to thrive? Where do we find love and acceptance? How do we find healing for the brokenness in our hearts? And sometimes that's where our stories break down. Because we wish, we pretend that we still live in Eden. We're kind of in denial that we're out of the garden. And we find ourselves wishing for those moments because we recall the moments of shalom. And so we deny the depth of our brokenness. And so we think, If I just take a coat of paint and kind of paint over my shattered heart, then I'll be all right. Rather than accepting the level of brokenness and then becoming a candidate for God's grace, God's mercy, God's love to heal our brokenness. We need a renovation of the heart. Like I said, I feel like I've spent a lifetime seeking shalom. And there's moments in my life where I found it. Seeking shalom. As a young adult, I struggled with mental pornography fairly extensively. I sought help from Christian leaders, from pastors. I reached out. And sometimes I'd make progress, but other times I felt that I was regressing backwards. As an adult, I made myself accountable to other men, men's group, male elders in the church. And again, there were times of victory, but then I'd become discouraged because I wasn't seeing the victorious Christian life that I thought I ought to see. So one day, I reached the end of my rope. I said to myself, I gotta go see a counselor. I asked some of the guys in my circle, and they said, yeah, go see a counselor. And I remember feeling very skeptical about it. I was thinking, oh man, I know what he's gonna say to me. He'll say to me what I say to other people, you know? Memorize Romans chapter 6, you know? I'm dead to sin, whatever. Or I thought, oh, great, I know what's going to happen. He's going to say, hey, here's the couch. Sit down on the couch. Lay down on the couch. Tell me about your childhood. And I'm going to spend oogles amount of money to recall the stories of my childhood pain. So I go to see the counselor. I'm a little nervous because I've got this image in my mind, right? I meet him. He says to me, what's your struggle? And I said, hey, I've got this mental pornography problem. He says, no, you have a pornography problem. There, okay. I'm rationalizing sin again. He says, hey, have a seat on the couch. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing. I thought, oh, great, here it goes. But I met with him, session after session. And we explored a few things about my family of origin. You see it there on the screen and around my background. And out of my upbringing, the middle circle there, he said, you're living in fear. Fear of not measuring up. Fear of rejection. And as a result, he said, you've got a performance-based acceptance. You're a people pleaser. You avoid conflict. You're not open and honest. You don't share your feelings. You've got a damaged self-worth. And he nailed me right on. And he says, as a result of that, in the top circle there, can't even read it, you're medicating your emptiness. And he was right. And for me, it was sexual fantasies. What about you? Is there some way that brokenness causes you to medicate the emptiness? Then he drew another picture. You see it there on the screen? Around Jesus now at the bottom. Jesus giving a declaration of who I am, of unconditional acceptance, of being totally safe with him, of being rooted in that identity, as opposed to any other type of identity. And then I can live a confident love. And then I don't have to choose to self-medicate pain. Though it's decades ago, I've kept these papers because they're worth more than Bitcoin, the amount of counseling it cost me. but I treasure them. Because we are on a journey back to God. You are on a journey back to God. And so many people try to do it on their own. The story, the biblical narrative, and the story of so many people, including me, is we try to do it circumventing God's help. Trying to earn His approval rather than from a position of being approved as the gospel declares you to be. And so the fourth movement is that of shalom restored. Your story has times of shalom restored. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes how Christ on the cross has disarmed all the evil powers of darkness in our world. And that on that cross, He declared, "It is finished." I like in our story journal what it says in week one. It says, "Jesus went on the cross to restore and redeem all of creation, and He knows you by name. It is finished, and yet you are still in the process of becoming. You must choose to let go of the broken ways. You seek shalom and allow God to heal you His way, in community, in truth. Sometimes this involves instantaneous healing, but more often than not, it takes months, even years. Or in my case as a slow learner, decades. That God is doing His sanctifying work in your lives. You can know that. You can live in that. Dan Allender, in talking about shalom restored, uses the French word dénouement. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Any viewers who are French, you can email me the correct pronunciation there. But dénouement, it means not a complete or fully resolved ending, but a satisfying closure to a story. It means in French an untying, a relaxing of a knot of complexity. It's when the plot lines of a story, they're all convoluted, they get opened up, bringing about that moment of shalom. Your story, your life story, has those moments of the unraveling, of the opening up, when God steps in, when God rescues you, when God frees you, when God restores you. As I think about my timeline, and you see it there on the screen, I think that often, as I was seeking shalom, I often would have breakthrough at those moments when I came to the end of myself. As it's often said, when you get to the end of yourself, it's the beginning of God. I think of those times where I was desperate. And I cried out to God. And that's when God moved. That's when God brought about a restoration in my heart. I think of the time when I was on my knees praying in front of a globe, a prayer of surrender, saying, "God, I'll go wherever you want me to go in this world." And I don't know, frankly, if I'd be standing here today if God hadn't brought me to that place. Perhaps you look back on your life too, and we're going to talk about coincidences in a couple weeks' time as you see kind of the link in some of the coincidences in your life. Or I think of the time I was in grade 12. I was in economics class, and the teacher said, "We're having a test tomorrow," and I was competing with another guy to try and get the top mark in economics in grade 12 at Grand River Collegiate. And he is a nerd, that other guy. I thought, I'm going to beat him. He probably thought I was a nerd too. But that evening, my mom says to me, "I've got a ticket for a movie. Why don't you go take it?" And I should have been studying for the test because I wanted to beat that other guy. But I thought, I'll beat him anyways. I went that night to the theater. I'm sitting in the cinema there on King Street in Kitchener. And the movie starts, and sure enough, it's a Christian movie, which I didn't realize. It was a retelling of the story from the Bible of the prodigal son, kind of in modern terms. And I found my heart just opening up that day as I felt like the prodigal son. Now, I hadn't chosen rebellion, but I had chose kind of this religion of achievement, trying to earn God's approval. And God broke through that night at the movie theater as I surrendered my heart to God. And I'd always been interested in God as a kid. Some of those moments of shalom in my childhood are actually when I went to like a neighborhood vacation Bible school and some other things. But that night at the movie theater, I believe God did an incredible transformation in my heart as this hunger and thirsting for God just came into my life like never before. And for the first time in my life, I opened the Bible and began to read it. For the first time in my life, I began to pray and believe God in things. And God began to heal my heart, my life. What about you? Have you opened your heart, your life to God? Have you surrendered? Have you gotten to the end of yourself and said, God, you be the forgiver of my life? Because I'm messing up trying to seek shalom on my own. Take my life. Be the forgiver. Be the leader, the boss of my life. Have you made that decision? Or is there an area of your life where perhaps you're still hanging on to, taking control of? Like Gord with that great metaphor at the soundboard there. And will you take your hands off the knob and allow Jesus to be in control of that area? Because you can't do anything about it. To let that knot be untied. Denouement. And perhaps you'll find a knot in your stomach will also disappear in the process. Because friends, your plight is your redemption. Those times of shalom shattered, of brokenness, God is reaching down, bringing about the healing. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And your story is one of restoration, of God doing an incredible redemption work. In this psalm, Psalm 107, there's a repeated refrain. Four times it's mentioned there. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. It's God's great love. The Hebrew word there is hesed, referring to a covenant love that God has with his people, that he has with you, that you can count on, that you can trust in. And so, friends, will you trust him? Will you reach up to this God who has reached down to you? He's demonstrated that through his love on the cross in sending his son Jesus for you. And he invites you to live in relationship with him. Will you take him up on that? Even now on the screen, you see there a phone number. One of our elders has agreed to pray with whoever would like prayer. And so in the next hour, if you would like prayer, you go ahead and call that number. And Lyndon loves to pray with people. He would love to pray with you, even if you don't know him and he doesn't know you. That all of us are on this journey. That God invites you to trust him. To trust him with your life. To trust him with every area of your life. So that you can live as the child of God that you're meant to live. And you can worship. Live this life of worship to your Heavenly Father, who is for you, who is healing you. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I can't thank you enough for the work you have done in my life. When I didn't give you the time of day, when I kept wandering off, when I outright rebelled, when I kind of metaphorically gave you the finger, you kept pursuing me with your love. I'm in awe of that, God. I just pray for each person who's here in attendance or who's watching online, that they too would know this love that surpasses all knowledge, and that there is absolutely nothing that can separate them from your incredible love. Shower it upon us, Heavenly Father, I pray. Amen.